The Nexium cult was an American cult that engaged in sex trafficking, forced labor, and racketeering. It was based in Clifton Park, New York, and it purported to be a multi-level marketing company that offered personal and professional development seminars through its executive success program. The company was a recruiting platform for a secret society called the DOS, where women were branded and forced into sexual slavery. My guest today is Kelly Teal. She is a survivor of the Nexium cult puzzle and now has transformed her trauma into passion and helps other people to conquer their own traumas. Her program is called Unapologetically Glorious, and she has worked with spiritual healers all over the world to help her on her own personal journey towards enlightenment. Today, we not only talk about spirituality and what it means to truly be glorious, but ways that you know that you might be involved in a cult or maybe facing subtle abuses in your life that are drawn from cult-like mentalities. This is The Lindsay Elmore Show. Welcome to The Lindsay Elmore Show, a podcast for people who deserve to be healthy, with honest, open, and enlightening conversations with doctors, thought leaders, creatives, and spiritual gurus. You'll walk away with simple and tangible tips and tricks that allow you to live your healthiest life so you can pursue your dreams, overcome obstacles, and leave your mark. Kelly Teal is an accomplished voice actress, author, speaker, consultant, and the driving force behind Be Glorious, a platform that is devoted to creating space for people to have candid and real conversations with themselves on their path to finding their own brand of glorious. Kelly has been featured in a series of interviews about the downfall of the now notorious Nexium cult. In the critically acclaimed documentary Seduced, currently streaming on Stars, as an unsuspecting ancillary piece to the Nexium puzzle, Kelly was faced with the hard truth that she needed to fight like hell to take back control of her destiny. This experience proved how truly vulnerable we as humans are and how easy it can be to give over one's power unintentionally. The compass of Kelly's intention has always been spiritually focused. She has had a private audience with His Holiness the Dalai Lama and has worked with spiritual healers around the world on her personal journey towards enlightenment. Kelly's spiritual awakening has served in conquering her trauma and in turn helping others conquer theirs. Kelly is set to release her much anticipated second book in the fall of 2021. This candid telling is an inspiring call to action that champions readers to be their own guru, take ownership, action, and take back their control on their way to becoming unapologetically glorious. Kelly Teal, welcome to the Lindsay Elmore Show.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I love when I was reading your bio, one of the things that really got under my skin is the need to fight like hell to take control of your own destiny, because that, I think, is when you come to the realization that you can only be yourself, and then you have to craft that courage to say, and I'm going to have to do that and live my own glorious, meaningful life. You have a new book coming out called Unapologetically Glorious, and I'd love to start out. You have a background and a history that not many people have been through. You were involved in a cult. You're currently in a documentary series, Seduced, currently streaming on Stars. And that led you to turn all of that into forgiveness and grace and the understanding that everything that we need is already in us. Tell us your story and help us to understand, how did you create this space and have the courage to pursue it?
Well, it's a long journey, like most people's. And I was involved with Nixium, which was a cult. And when I finally extracted myself from that, I came to a place that I felt extremely lost, more lost than when I actually joined the organization. And I had to find a way to get back to myself. And so I thought, well, I'll try to find another guru, or I'll try to find another organization, or I'll read more books, or I'll find the answer through someone or something else. And when I started to pursue that again, it scared me, because I realized I don't trust anyone else. I already went down a road that wasn't good. And so I scared myself and realized, oh my gosh, you know, the answer's not out there. There is no answer, and no one person or one thing has the answer. And so the only other place to go was inside. And so I really went into myself and did a lot of evaluation and asked myself a lot of questions. And I really came to that place to realize that, you know, life is not easy, and we make a lot of mistakes, and it's a struggle a lot of the time. But I really had to sit with myself and get to a place that I felt okay. And so by doing the documentary and having to really face and own my story in public, that was part of it. And then part of all my journaling that I was doing, and then starting to write my book, I really had to process that in real time. And so I was able to get to this place, or actually acknowledge and become aware of this place, of the state of being that I call glorious.
While not many people go as far down the rabbit hole as actually making their way and having the peculiar set of circumstances that leads anyone to a cult, I think that we all, on some level, seek validation outside of ourselves. It's like you said, when you're lost, you're searching for, how do I make sense of all of this? So you start to write your first book, and now you've got your second book coming out. What is the evolving message of what it means to truly be glorious?
I think the evolving message is that, well, we're all born glorious. We're born that way. A baby is glorious. And over time, we start to take on negative thoughts or beliefs about ourselves, and we start to lose that gloriousness. If you've seen children, like they act glorious. And then as we get older, we begin to believe that we're not anymore. We believe that we're something else, that we're not enough, that we're not good enough. And we are searching for that kind of acceptance to try to make us feel good enough. And so the evolution of being glorious is really, I believe, that journey of our life of seeking really ourself. That's what we're looking to reclaim is ourself.
Mm-hmm. So I think of the ways that we give away that power, and we give away that understanding that the answer is already in us. In what subtle ways do you see that people are giving away their power, doubting their own intuition, that may be blocking them from experiencing the depths of everything that they can experience in this life?
I think we give away our power in so many ways. We buy into the media, what we should look like, what we should say, how we should behave. We look at our peers for that information. We look to our teachers for that information, our parents for that information. And we will take on some of those traits because we think it will make us acceptable and that will allow us to belong. And so that's how I think, in my experience, I have given my power away so often in the past were to these institutions and to groups and trying to belong and be accepted.
Mm-hmm. It is such a base human need to feel like you belong to a group. But yet, when we've bought into what the media is telling us, we feel all that pressure of the flaws that we perceive in ourselves. How can our listeners just put a mirror in front of their face and recognize that the flaws are just as perfect as they, you know, as everything that is perceived as beautiful? How do we overcome this perception that is so ingrained within us?
I think I like to use the term that we are perfectly imperfect. It is our imperfections that make us unique. It's what makes us a human spirit. You're Lindsay, I'm Kelly, we are different, but we are perfect. We're perfectly imperfect. And it's really an inside job of learning to really accept who you are on this planet. And it's easy to say, oh, just love yourself. But really, that's what self-acceptance is. It's forgiveness of forgiving yourself for not feeling good enough. Forgiving yourself for thinking that you're not enough and realizing that you are enough or you wouldn't be here.
Right, right. We all have that ability to see ourselves no matter how hard life gets. We have that ability to see ourselves as this one life. It's the only life that we're going to get. And how glorious, how, you know, just amazing that is. And so, how do you implement this? Because it seems to be one of the most existential struggles that women have, which is, how do I understand truly that I belong to myself and I don't have to constantly be searching outside of myself for somewhere else to belong?
The first thing that is so important is to understand, and I understand this firsthand having been in a cult and believing that this organization that I thought was a self-help group that actually turned out to be a cult had the answer that was going to save me. And so there is nothing out there. There is no one person or one thing that has the answer that's going to save you. Nothing. There's nothing out there. Now, there's lots of books and lots of authors. There's lots of videos. There's lots of information out there that you can pull together, but you have to run it through your own filter and you have to use critical thinking, and you don't have to eat the whole enchilada. You can take bits and pieces and formulate what works for you. But at the end of the day, it's you deciding what works for you. And it's not outside, it's inside.
So when you came to that moment where you recognized you were in a cult, and perhaps some of our listeners recognize that they are in a verbally abusive marriage, or maybe their boyfriend is just not who they want to be with, or maybe there's all kinds of circumstances where there's just something inside of you where you just go, I'm thinking I need to make a break for it. Where did you derive that courage to take the very painful steps of making changes in your life? And what lessons have you learned from other women who have made big, dramatic changes to take back their autonomy over life?
Well, getting out of a cult once you're indoctrinated is a journey in itself. It doesn't usually happen all in one moment. So there was a series of events that happened for me. And it was very difficult to get information, real data of what was going on. I was relying on some newspaper articles and some blogs and things like that. And so when I started gathering the information, it was hard for me to actually believe it, because everything that I believed about this organization was so different from what I was hearing. And I was being told, you know, you don't have data on this, so how do you know if it's true? So eventually, I was sent a book called Take Back Your Life by Janja Lalic. Someone sent it in the mail. To this day, I still don't know who. And I started to read that book. Now, I've already was sort of beginning to think that something was wrong. I read the first chapter of her book. She was able to define so clearly what a cult was. And there was just this sort of recognition immediately that, oh my gosh, I'm in a cult. And so I threw the book across the room and I said it out loud. And from that point, I was able to, I was still very involved in the community, but I was able to realize that I needed to get out. And it was sort of like my body was doing the movements, but my brain and my soul were still part of this community. And so from there, I started reaching out to other former members. Sarah Edmondson then went on to be on the front cover of the New York Times, and she showed her brand. And I thought, my goodness, like, she's so brave. Like, she's just, I was mortified for her at first. And then I realized, how brave is she? I mean, she's owning this thing. She's owning her story. And from that point, I said to myself, if she can do this, then maybe I can own my story too. Maybe I can be brave enough to come forward, brave enough to not judge myself, because everyone else is going to judge me, but I want to be brave enough not to judge myself.
You know, I mean, first and foremost, I will clarify the language. When you said, you know, Sarah Edmondson, she shows her brand. When I first heard that, I was like, oh, her brand of clothing. And then it took me a second to recognize that, no, this was a cult so bad that it physically scarred at people's bodies with branding. And that is something that you can't take away. It's there as a long-term permanent marker. But I also would like to go back to the lessons that you learned in this book, Take Back Your Life. And you said, you know, you read it, you threw the book across the room and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in a cult. What are some of these markers that, while not, when you put them all together, it kind of equals a cult, but there are ways in life that people just manipulate and they control and they indoctrinate and they transform your way of thinking into thinking that it is the answer. So what were some of the things that really stood out to you that you learned, like, this is how you control other people?
So the first thing that jumped out at me is a term that she calls, and I think a lot of people now call, love bombing. So it's when a community of people just embrace you immediately and you feel loved and accepted and that you belong. And generally these are a group of your peers that you have something in common with. We all had that we wanted to grow as human beings on this planet. So I immediately really connected with them. And so then they're embracing me, and that was wonderful and it felt so great. The other thing that really jumped out to me was that there's always a charismatic leader in these organizations. And that I really had to think about, because Keith really was a charismatic leader. And so when I saw those sort of put together, that was really so much of my experience. And there are many, many red flags to these types of organizations. There's an us versus them mentality. So we would talk about the people on the outside. And when I saw that word, the outside, I used to use that all the time. Well, they won't understand. They're not like us. They're on the outside. That really hit me hard as well. So there are quite a few red flags that just lined up with my experience beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it is one of those things where you do desire so much to have that immediate connection with people that it allows you to see past the red flags. And it's like you said about getting out of a cult. It doesn't just all happen. And you also don't get indoctrinated just all at once. It's subtle and over time. And I'm sure with increasing levels of, I don't know the right word, but just where there's more and more of trauma. Yeah, absolutely. of control. And yes, absolutely. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Last year was a super stressful year for me. And on December 25th, I stood on the scale for the first time in a long time and realized that I was at my heaviest body weight that I had ever been. Now, of course, body weight is not a sole determinant of health, but I also simply didn't feel good. My clothes didn't fit. I didn't feel like I was in my body anymore. On January 5th, I decided to change my life, and I dedicated myself to exercising and to drinking more water and to intermittent fasting so that I took time every day to stop eating before I went to bed. I also embraced sleep as a part of the overall weight loss journey and quit drinking alcohol. It was a series of small changes that I had the discipline to stick to that made all of the difference in the world. I now sit here almost 20 pounds lighter than I was in December. It feels better. It feels like I have accomplished something. And when you start to make changes in your life that make you a healthier human being, those changes begin to multiply and to create systems where you can do a little more. You can have a little bit more workout, a little bit more metabolic flexibility. You can have a little bit more fun because your body is able to carry you through the long hikes, the bike rides, the zip lines, the whatever it is that you find fun. I spent several months really working on my fitness so that I could be a happier person. That's what ULA is all about. It's about making the commitment to change and then going through the growth that it takes to change into a better person. It helps you to set a series of small goals, one for each day, two for each day. Maybe you start out and say, you know what, ooh, Linz, I'm hearing you. I'm the heaviest I've ever been too. Well, you're not going to run a 5K until you buy some new sneakers. Let's set small, achievable, realistic goals on the regular that can move you toward the life of your dreams. Find out more by heading to www.lindseyelmore.com/ULA. That's www.lindseyelmore.com/ULA. I hope to see you at our next meeting. And if you're ready to go on this journey with me, reach out to me on social media, send me an email to hello@lindseyelmore.com, or just go out there and come to our next meeting, bring a friend, and let's go on a transformative journey together. Head to lindseyelmore.com/ULA. And now, let's get back to the show. One of the things that you said that you've had to do is seek a path to higher spiritual ground. And that doesn't seem like it is that easy to do when you recognize that you have been living in a way that is not true to your innermost self, and recognizing that you've been a piece of a puzzle that you didn't know was being built. So how did you go about seeking the higher spiritual path?
Well, I've always been a seeker since I can remember. So seeking to me was never really difficult to do. It always seemed to be, well, you just follow this person or look at this book and, you know, switch off to this new thing or new idea. And so what I did was when I realized that none of those paths were going to get me where I needed to go, I really, again, I went inside myself and had to really come to terms with me and really look at how flawed I am, how many mistakes I've made, how my yearning for perfection got me into a lot of trouble, because it was wanting to be perfect that got me into this place where I thought if I joined this organization and they could help me find enlightenment, then I would be so perfect that I would be above judgment, I'd be above criticism, I'd be enlightened, I'd be perfect. And so I really had to look at that and realize that I'm not perfect, I'm never going to be perfect, and striving to be perfect can get you into a lot of trouble.
Well, go ahead, please.
No, please, no.
I was just going to say, you know, this whole concept of enlightenment in the Buddhist traditions, I think it is almost akin to heaven. It's like, well, when you get to this point where your spiritual being is able to just be a part of the ether and the universe and the heavens and the whatever you want to call it, but that is a distinctly different journey than being here as a human who has to go through the school of hard knocks. It is simply what it means to be here. And one of the greatest blessings that we can have is just to say, well, I'm here in this body with these flaws, with these things that make me me, with these bad things I've been through and these lessons I can learn from them. And so I might as well just love that and do it. But I am sure for some of our listeners, that seems completely unattainable. So how do you actually do this in your day-to-day life?
Yeah. In my day-to-day life, I fall off the path all the time. So it's really about self-awareness, and it's about getting up every time you fall down. I want to step back just for one second. And I was always believed that I was going to reach the light. I always thought that this light was this thing that was attainable, that I was going to reach, that was like Oz in The Wizard of Oz, or like enlightenment that Buddha talks about, or nirvana, that it was something that I could attain. And then I realized that it's not that. It's knowingness. And when I say knowingness, it's knowing that I am okay no matter where I am or what I'm doing right now in this moment. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm not striving for new goals or trying to evolve as a person or going along my journey that can be bumpy at times. It just means that no matter where I am on my journey, I'm okay right now just as I am. And that to me is the light that I call glorious. That's mm-hmm. the place, that state of glorious, that when I know I'm okay right now, just as I am, I'm okay with me right now. Mm-hmm.
So how do you come to that place, especially as the ups and downs of life bump us along the way?
Because those ups and downs are life. That is how we do life. There is no way around it. It is just us living. And so to be okay all the time in the good moments and the bad moments, just knowing this is just our life, but I'm still okay. Almost as if I'm separate from all of that. I'm a separate being. I'm a spiritual being going through this thing called life. And that spiritual being is always okay, right where she is right now, because mm-hmm. she's okay with herself.
Right. And everything is going to work itself out. It's all going to be okay as long as you are making those choices that you go, all right, this is truly in my heart of hearts. It's all okay. It sits well with me. I am going to be just fine along the way. So, okay, coming back to that self-awareness, do you meditate? Do you go out into nature? Like, how do you actively craft this deeper self-awareness in your life?
So my life is kind of crazy like everyone else's. And so I really make an effort, and this is self-awareness, to carve out some time to walk in nature, walk on the beach, wherever that is for me at the time, and to sit quietly with myself and actually bring myself. So I do meditate. I know a lot of people don't really like to meditate, but meditation can be as simple as walking. It can be as simple as sitting in a chair and literally bringing all the pieces of yourself back to you. So we're all over the place. Our mind's here, it's there, it's everywhere. It's bringing it back to you. That's self-awareness. And also, you know, being really honest with yourself. You know, I fall off this whole thing all the time, and I have to carve out this time. I have to make it a priority. And I also have to look constantly at how I affect people in the world. So how my actions affect people. So that's all part of self-awareness. And then being in a place where I am centered some of the time, at least, maybe not all the time. You know how it goes. It's like you get distracted, you do things, I could have done that better, and you don't beat yourself up over it. You just go back to starting ground and start again. Like I do fresh starts 70 times a day. Fresh start. And don't beat myself up over it because I'm living life and I'm okay.
Yeah, I love that idea of just, okay, well, let me just try again. Let's just do a fresh start. I want to go back to something you said earlier, because some people don't like to meditate. And as you said, it can be as simple as walking out in nature. But earlier you mentioned how much you were journaling throughout this entire process. Talk to us about why and how journaling is beneficial for you and how you think it's different than meditation or walking or other types of self-soothing behaviors.
So journaling was introduced to me by one of my therapists, and she explained to me that it's very important to write on a piece of paper with a pen or a pencil. Mm. Because when you're actually writing, you're connecting with the creative part of your brain. And you're able to download and bring things through. And for me, journaling has been a way of, that's how I came up with Glorious. That's how I came forward with that whole idea. It just sort of came out in my writing because it was something my grandmother used to always say. She would point out things in the world. I'm sorry. She would point out things in the world that were just, isn't that sunset glorious? And she would always say to me, child, you are glorious, you know that. And I didn't really understand what it meant at the time. But through my journaling, it all came back. Mm-hmm. And I was able to wrap my head around that we are glorious. Like, we're born that way. And I lost it somewhere along the way. And I wanted it back.
Mm-hmm.
So journaling can be very profound if you allow yourself to just write whatever comes to you. It doesn't matter if it makes sense. It doesn't matter if it's spelled correctly. It doesn't matter. It's just for you. It's only for you to read.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the lessons that we learn from our grandmothers, may we always remember them. There's a special way that grandmothers see us, that if we all saw ourselves in those ways. My grandmother died this year, and it was, well, it was one of the most meaningful moments in my life, and I was able to write it down, and I was able to record it as a podcast episode of talking through all of the ways that she made me feel like this glorious little human being, and all the ways that I didn't step up, and the things I didn't do, and the flaws that I regret, and the moments I wish I could take back. And yet to look back on all of that and just go, life. That's life. That's life. That's love playing out in real time. I'd love to fast forward a little bit and talk about meeting the Dalai Lama, and you said that you've always been a spiritual seeker, and I'd love to know what kind of similarities have you noticed in all of your learnings and all of your studies that you think are universal truths that when we embody them, make us better humans and make us a better part of humanity?
The one thread that I have seen through so many of these spiritual leaders like the Dalai Lama, Yogananda, Ram Dass, so many of them, it's all about compassion for self first and other, because you can't be compassionate for someone else until you're compassionate with yourself first. The second thing that I have really learned and love is, Ram Dass said it best, be here now. Be present. Be present to yourself. Be present to the world. And have compassion for other. Those are the two things that I have seen throughout all of my studies that really make sense and that seem to be said by everyone in different ways.
Kelly, I'd like to ask a question that I hope it's not too much to ask, but if any of our listeners are in a situation that is toxic, is abusive, is controlling, is manipulative, and they're feeling like there's no way out of this, because so many women, and there's so much shame associated with, like, well, why didn't you just leave? And I would love to know what you would say to someone who is still living in an unhealthy situation. What would you say to them?
Well, if I were speaking to them one-on-one, I would first tell them that I really understand what it's like to be in a controlled situation and feel like you can't get out. And that happens to a lot of women and men. And I would then, there are resources available. There are many resources available. You have to find them. I mean, one of the resources that comes to mind just quickly is seducedocumentary.com is a website that has resources, many deprogrammers, people that can help with therapy, people that can help you get out, and also people like Janja Lalich as well. So there's lots of people that are professionals and who are experts on this situation. And so I would have them seek help. I mean, there's always help somewhere. It's just finding it.
Mm-hmm. There is always help somewhere. It is just finding it and really having the courage to do it, as well as ensuring safety along the way, which is, I'm sure, very scary.
Especially if you have children involved. It's very, very scary. And it does take bravery and courage. And sometimes it takes a lot of faith. It's a leap of faith to leave a partner or a husband who is abusive, or a cult, or a group of people or peers that are controlling. It's a big leap of faith. And it really is about reaching down deep inside and saying, I'm worth it. I'm worth this. I'm not saying it will be easy. And there may be a lot of loss involved, and that is part of being alive. But there's also the light that I was talking about. And so there is this knowingness that you will be okay, and you are going to be okay. If you just need to make those choices toward being okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is such a scary, scary journey, especially with so many examples of women not being believed along the way of the abuses that they've been through, as well as just the lack of justice that so many people face. And how did you not allow yourself to get into a vendetta mode, to where there was anger that was guiding you? And, like, you know, if he doesn't go down, and, you know, in my research, it says you've also done extensive sense of study about Bikram Chowdhury, who's this like yoga guru who's still out there doing the same crap that he has always done, and there's no justice. How did you put the brakes on that? Because, girl, I'm sure that anger comes out sometimes.
It definitely, yes, it does. And it has come out in resentment. And I think, first of all, just journaling I was able to release some of that. But, you know, it's still there. To be honest, you know, I'm still angry. I mean, how can I not be? But I don't want to lead with anger because that is just, it goes nowhere. So I had to find constructive ways to use my energy. So it's much more helpful if I could help just one person with this book, help them get out of a bad situation or help them find the light, than it is to focus my attention on hating or being angry about what someone else did or be angry at myself. It's just a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. I know it is such a waste of time. And I know in me, it's always challenging to strike that balance between you want justice and you certainly don't want the bad behaviors of abusive people to continue. But yet there comes a point where that inner sanctuary becomes more valuable.
Yes, and I think that that's where self-awareness comes in. And that is where I can choose to be angry. I can stop myself and say, where am I going right now? I can choose to be angry or I can choose something else. And what is going to bring me, what choices, and there are many, that will bring me closer to who I want to be, where I want to go? What will bring me closer to my light? So that's when I talk about awareness and slowing down enough and bringing yourself back to yourself so that you can stop and think. It's like stop, drop, and roll, only just stop and think and choose. We have that ability, but we're going so fast that we usually snap right into anger or right into the reaction. But if you can stop yourself for 2 seconds, and this takes time and it takes work, stop yourself for 2 seconds and say, what do I choose right now? Do I choose that or do I choose this?
I love that. Stop, think, and choose. And I think my favorite thing that you've said this entire conversation is meditation is the act of bringing all the pieces of you back. It's that act of just collection, of gathering. So beautiful, so brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing your story today. Listeners, please go check out Kelly Thiel. That's Thiel.com. And be on the lookout for her new book, Unapologetically Glorious. It is coming out this fall. Kelly, thank you so much for coming in today and being a guest on The Lindsay Elmore Show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been delightful. Thank you.
Most skincare that is out there on the market is packed with lab-made ingredients that do damage to the internal structures of the skin and don't address the main reasons that skin looks old. What we need is skincare that actually addresses the 5 pillars that help our skin to look healthy, bounce back, and have a vibrant complexion. We need our skin to stay hydrated, have good blood flow, good collagen, good elastin, and to maintain our facial muscle tone. Primal Life Organics has a glow package that is specifically designed to address all 5 of these pillars. The products are super easy to use, and there are certain products to use in the morning and in the evening. Get up in the morning and wash your face with luxurious saponified oils in the Earth Facial Cleanser. Then apply the coffee bean serum to give your skin a quick jolt of caffeine, making it look alive and vibrant. In the evening, wash your face again with the Earth Cleanser. Then exfoliate all of the day away using the Sweet Revenge Exfoliator, and then give your skin a big dose of antioxidants to absorb throughout the night with the Blueberry Elixir. This way, we will maintain our skin's inner structures now and into the future, and ensure that as our skin goes through the natural journey of aging, that we preserve, maintain, and build hydration, circulation, muscle tone, collagen, and elastin. Head to lindseyelmore.com/primallife to shop the Glow Package today. That's lindseyelmore.com/primallife to try out my new favorite skincare. The Lindsay Elmore Show is written and produced by me, Lindsay Elmore. Show segments are produced by Sue Procco and Derek Lugo. Sound design and editing is by Jive Media. Support the Lindsay Elmore Show by heading to lindseyelmore.com/podcast. Your contribution, no matter how big or how small, helps us to bring the best guests to the interview chair. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Share this and all of your favorite episodes with a friend and on social media. Be sure to tag @LindsayElmoreShow and help us bring the pod to more people.